We're not ready for winter yet, though. We are in fall. It is September 17th. Temperatures are cooling a little bit. Some fall colors have begun. After a summer of drought, though, the question is, are we going to see the brilliant colors that we love, like last year? Joining us now is Jessica Savage, assistant professor at the Swenson College of Science and Engineering at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Jessica, Jessica, hold on just a minute. Thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
I'm here. Okay. Thank you.
Jessica, you have no idea the amount of pressure you are under right now, because I've been up here for like eight decades.
And he's not 80. He's
eight.
Okay.
Yeah, I have. But people, it's the question asked every damn year with your buddies. Yeah, I know we had some light. We didn't have any moisture, so the trees are going to be horrible. Then they turn out to be beautiful. What the hell is going on out there in the woods?
That's a great question. and I'll tell you, the answer isn't simple. I think that generally what you hear is true, that they are probably not going to be as brilliant this year. We are already seeing, like around where we are in Duluth, a lot of early turning of our aspen and poplars, and they may be a glimpse of golden and then brown. And that's probably driven by drought. But the thing that happens is you have variation between the different plants, right? And they depend on different water. So all of our shrubs down here are turning about 2 weeks earlier than last year. And that's because those are the kind of plants that are going to rely on the water that comes from the rain regularly. There are some trees that are going to have their roots really deep, and they're going to be less affected by a drought unless it's really lowering the water table. And so there are still going to be some trees that are going to be brilliant, but it might be more spotty. And it's also going to depend on what the rest of the season looks like, because temperature affects color, not just water.
We were talking last hour about this a little bit, and Marshall from the Timberjay newspaper was saying that a lot of some of the maple leaves fell off early because of the drought. So we may see less, like the ones that are on the tree still, we may see in some brilliant colors, but there's not as many.
Yeah, so I think that's a good assessment. And it's going to be plant specific, it's going to be region specific, but like in Duluth, what we're seeing is there are some trees that are looking all right, that are turning, and there are some that have turned brown and dropped it. And it probably just depends on how much water they have and how they're doing on an individual basis. So you won't see the big cliffs that are colored really bright all at the same time. I think that's going to be less likely.
Okay.
So it's a physical thing. It's not plants getting fooled.
No, not well, with the drought.
I've heard that. You know, they're confused. Drop their leaves early.
Well, that's probably more often the case, like when you're talking about temperature, right? You could say a cold snap might confuse the plant to think that fall's coming earlier, and it may not, right? But with drought, it's usually just a response to that intensity of stress that they're experiencing.
Are any trees in danger? Like I know the birches just look like they're just struggling, hanging on.
Yeah. So on an individual year, having a dry condition where you lose your leaves early is probably not going to have a huge impact on a plant. But if it happens repeatedly, that's when plants really struggle, because it shortens their growing season. They rely a lot on getting sun and making sugars throughout the whole length of time we have in the North Shore here, which isn't that long, right?
Yeah.
and so if that gets shortened repeatedly, it can end up being a problem. And the other thing that happens is if they are droughted and drop their leaves early, they can't often retrieve as much from them. So part of the reason why we have all these colors is because the plants are trying to pull resources. Nitrogen's one of the big ones, back from their leaves before they drop them. And if something triggers an earlier drop, they don't often retrieve as many of the nutrients.
Hmm. We're talking with Jessica Savage from the University of Minnesota Duluth. We're learning about fall colors and what this drought might mean. Can you just backtrack a little bit? Why did leaves change colors in the first place? What's the science behind this?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there are some things we know about it, and some we actually don't. On a broad level, what's happening is the plants are trying to pull back as many nutrients as they can before they drop their leaves. And one of the things that's really high in some of the nutrients is a lot of the pigments and other types of sort of equipment that's used for photosynthesis, the process that plants use to get sugar from the sun. And so pulling out all the green pigment, which is chlorophyll, is really important for saving some of those nutrients for the next year. So the fact that they lose the green, that's the first step. We understand why that happens. Why they change colors, and it varies between species. It's not 100% clear. A lot of times pigments actually help plants. They act as sort of like a sunscreen. And one of the common ideas is that when you're decreasing the everything involved with photosynthesis, there's a lot of excess light that's being absorbed by the leaf, and that these pigments actually help protect the leaf so it can pull out more in the end. So, but there's variation. Some will turn red, some don't, and so there's still a lot of questions there.
But a maple's always going to be red. A maple's not going to be orange, right? You could see her look.
Usually. I mean, it partially depends on the species. Some species are a little flexible. Like sugar maples can be inconsistent in their color, but like a red maple almost always turns red. There are certain species which really turn red frequently, but it's not always the case. Like I like to use the red osier dogwood, if people are familiar with it, because it sticks out at this time of year anyways, but it turns its leaves red, but not in all conditions. Sometimes its leaves turn yellow. And you often see a difference between one that's growing out in the sun and one that's growing in the shade in terms of the colors it turns. So there can be variation.
So Jessica, this is the time of year where John is kind of sad because he loves summer so much. I, on the other hand, am very happy. I love the fall. What about you, season-wise?
Well, I love changes. So I have to say I love both the fall and the spring.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's probably why I study what I do. I love seeing how the plants change.
Yeah.
So you mentioned pigment. Can this pigment actually be extracted and used in art?
Ooh, that is a great question. So it definitely can be extracted. I don't know how stable it is. So there are a lot of plant pigments that are used for dyeing textiles. I actually have a graduate student in my lab who enjoys doing that with different plants. I don't know about the red pigment that's in senescing leaves, if there's enough of it or if it's strong. That's a great question.
We just had a question from a listener, said, will this drought have any effect on the spring maple run next year?
Another great question.
That is a great question. And I don't know that I have a clear answer. I think it's really going to depend on what happens between now and then. If plants continue to be drought stressed when it gets cold, that is like double trouble. So if we continue to get more rain and it sort of returns to something more normal, it might not have a big effect, but I think it really depends on what happens next.
So Jessica, if we have a drought like this 2 or 3 years in a row, which is entirely possible, I hope it isn't, but what could be the devastating effects of something like that?
Well, I think if it's severe enough, you could have some tree death or a lot of dieback. It's going to affect younger plants more. A lot of our big trees will have deep roots and they are really robust and they have a lot of stored resources inside of their trunk. But the young trees, if you subject them to frequent drought, they might be more likely to die. Or some trees will just have large dieback where you'll lose parts of branches. It might be more noticeable in the city because cities are more stressful environments for trees anyways, with the salt, and often strange runoff and differential access to water. It's not the same as out in the open. But I've lived in other places where there's been drought frequently over several years, and we start losing boulevard trees and things like that sometimes.
A lot of times I say things I don't even know what I'm talking about, but I've been out on my lot in this summer now, during the extreme part of the drought, we have a lot of popple trees. And all of a sudden, just in a very light wind, the popple tree broke in half. Mm-hmm. And to my brilliance, I said, oh, that's because the tree is dry. Because I went over and there was no rot, nothing like that. Is that possible that that's why that tree was vulnerable? It just broke midway, 10-mile-an-hour wind.
It is possible it's related in some way. It's tricky because once you stress something out, it's more vulnerable to a lot of other things. And in terms of something, sounds very mechanical, right? Breaking. It's possible that extreme drought could influence, but it could also be there's something in between. So one of the things that frequently happens is when there's droughts, we have an increase in pests. Oh. So there's a lot of insects that do very well when a plant is stressed out. And so it sort of adds to it. And so it could be that there is some kind of compounding effect that could have led to what you saw that could be related to the drought, or could just be because the plant was stressed. And yeah, because of that, something else was compromised.
So you're a doctor, right? Is that right? You have a doctorate?
Mm-hmm.
So what are the absolute perfect conditions for a spectacular fall? Take us through that slowly.
She's not going to say yes to our requests anymore for interviews.
Well, I think you have to be in the right place. We've got that taken care of, because not everywhere in the world will have it. We are pretty special up here. You want to have a lot of water, so not dry. And I guess it depends what you're looking for. If you want something that's long, the key is not to have anything that will come quickly and change quickly. So like if we had a really early freeze or frost event, that's more likely to cut down the timing. That being said, getting into these cool nights, that's when you start seeing the color changes. And sometimes a little bit cooler will bring you more red colors. Hmm. So you want to have this transition right about at the right time when the days are getting shorter, where you get cooler nights, and to have it gradually ramp down, and that'll spread out the time period, and it should give you really nice.
Nice answer. Can you have too much? Can you have too much water? Is too much water hard on trees?
Too much water is hard on trees, but I don't know if you can get that much water just in this kind of area, because we have pretty good drainage. It would be different if you were talking about flooding. So that would be what I would consider too much water, if we started getting large areas that were flooded.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we will see color. We're seeing a bit here in the Grand Rapids area. So it's not like we're going to not have that fall. So we should all remember to get out. It may not be as brilliant as years past, but you know, it's good to see the changes as we move into winter at some point here. So
when you were growing up, did you ever take a beautiful leaf and put it in a book and then go back like 8 years later and it's still perfect?
I know. Definitely. I actually was just collecting some the other day.
That's why she's laughing. Oh, that's Jessica Savage, assistant professor at the University of Minnesota at the Swenson College of Science and Engineering. Thank you so
much. Thanks a lot for putting up with us. Yeah. Me.
Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you.
You're Bye-bye. Listening to the Friday Morning Show. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. Coming up, we'll have National Native News. And later in this half hour, we're going to be talking about Archaeology Day at the Forest History Center.